The traitor staggered toward the center aisle. Lord Hethra would never let him live after such a challenge. Tigris looked away, ashamed of his own weakness, but unwilling to watch another man die. And yet Rasha did not fall. His footsteps sounded toward the back of the meeting hall.
Your forgiveness, my lord.
Tigris turned just in time to see Brasha flee out the doorway. Tigris turned toward Lord Hethrir. He was shocked by his lord's strange face. He did mean Brasha to die, Tigris thought. But something went wrong. The way Lord Hethrir's lightsaber went wrong. The fanged creature skulked down the aisle. Everyone ignored it. Instead of running away or following its master from the hall, it settled itself at Anakin's feet. Hot and sweaty in the oppressive heat, Han trudged toward Waru's calligraphed retreat. He had been in a good mood after a successful night at the gambling tables, until he got back to the suite and found they had been evicted, and there was no sign of Luke or 3PO. The idea of entering Waru's presence again gave him the creeps. If he never had to see the damn thing again, he'd be perfectly happy. But he could think of no other place to look for Luke and 3PO. He stepped into the theater. At the foot of the stage, Luke stood with his shoulders slumped, facing Waru.
I am tired, Luke Skywalker.
Oh, fine, Han thought. He told the guy who he is.
You think of me as a tireless benefactor. A limitless healer. But I am a living being, and I tire like all other living beings.
I'm afraid if you don't help me, I'll die, Luke pleaded. Waru gave the impression of a deep sigh.
Very well. I will help you.
Luke stepped up on the altar.
Luke!
Han yelled. As Luke stretched his arms to Waru, placing his palms on the limpid gold scales, Han sprinted toward him, his boots pounding the floor. He reached the altar and leapt up beside Luke. He grabbed him and pulled him away. Luke struggled, blindly reaching for his lightsaber. Han wrestled with him and pulled Luke's arms behind his back. Once Luke got his hands on the lightsaber, Han knew he could not win.
Stop it! You're not going to use the lightsaber on me, and you know it!
Then he got a look at Luke's face, pale and drawn with pain, his eyes staring, and he was not so sure.
Leave him. He has asked my aid, and I have offered it.
No, it's too much to ask. We'll come back when you're rested.
Han jumped off the edge of the altar, pulling Luke with him. He expected a trick. He expected Luke to will the lightsaber into his hand. Instead, he found himself barely managing to keep his balance as he half-dragged and half-carried Luke away from Waru's altar and out into the open field. Tigris listened, rapt, to Lord Hethrir's speech. He had been speaking for hours. Like the others, Tigris was fascinated, hypnotized by the Lord's voice and his powerful message.
Today I will consolidate my power, Lord Hethrir said. Today I will be refined, like precious metal from the rough ore of earthly existence. Today I will be reborn, like the Empire whose reincarnation I have conceived and incubated. Today I will bring forth the Empire Reborn.
His followers gazed at him, stunned by his audacity. Then altogether they leapt to their feet and cheered.
Come with me, Lord Hethrir said.
He descended from the podium and strode down the aisle, looking neither right nor left. They all followed him. Two of his proctors ran before him to open the door, while his guests spilled into the aisle behind him, followed him out of the lodge, and trooped down the path. They pulled the sleepy slave children along with them. Leia and her companions rode Cressia's landing field crawler to the station. After questioning the locals about Hethria, they started making their way to Waru's retreat. What a raiding party we make, Leia thought. A raiding party disguised as a family outing.
This place is weird, Jason said as they walked.
The children had been trying to use their Jedi talents to sense their little brother, but they could not. Leia, too, felt as if her abilities had taken leave of her, leaving behind them nothing but a dull headache. She wondered if Relau was having the same disorienting experience.
Let me go, Han, Luke said. Please, let me go. I have to see Waru. Something's happening to me. Something terrible. Can't you see?
I see you're behaving like a jerk. Why'd you tell Waru who you are?
Han, I'm losing my abilities, my connection to the Force. I can't maintain my disguise. People started recognizing me. When we talked about Zavari, I couldn't know if you were telling me the truth. I feel like I'm deaf and blind, like my heart's been ripped out of my body.
We've had plenty of vacation, Han said. Luke, this isn't the old days. We don't have to solve every problem and win every fight on our own. If you're sick, we'll go back to Coruscant and get you well again.
But the Jedi, Luke said. Waru...
There aren't any lost Jedi here. It was all Zavari's reports, and her reports are all about Waru. Not Jedi. Waru.
Luke hesitated.
Yeah.
He sounded sad and confused.
Let's go collect 3PO and Zavari and blast off out of here,
Han said.
Zavari?
An edge of anger replaced the confusion in Luke's voice.
Yeah, you don't expect me to leave her here. If I can get her to leave, do you?
What do you need her for? Glaring furiously, Luke pulled away and flung up his hand, palm outward. Han felt the touch of the Force in the center of his chest. He jumped backward. The touch vanished, and Luke crumpled to the ground. Han hurried to his side and knelt beside him.
I'm sorry, Luke said. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I loved Zavari, Han said. I won't deny it. If she hadn't left me, I don't know.
It doesn't matter, Luke. Can't you see that? I promise you, brother, what Zavari and I were to each other years ago has nothing to do with what Leia and I are to each other now.
Luke looked away.
I'm sorry, he said again.
Han helped him to his feet. His friend did not resist him.
Where's 3PO?
Han asked. Luke shrugged. He was shaking. Han looked at him with concern, thinking, he really is sick. I've got to get him away from here.
It beats the hell out of me where he could have gone. He isn't at the lodge.
Han glanced toward the secret path, not looking forward to the trek back to town. Zavari ducked out of the concealed entrance. She walked toward him.
Zavari, we're leaving. You're right about Waru, about the danger. We're taking the information back with us to decide what to do.
I'm glad to hear it, she said in a neutral tone.
Then she gazed at Waru's retreat and frowned. At the far end of the dome, a group of people entered from the main connecting path. They strode toward Waru's compound. First came a marching phalanx of youths in blue uniforms, their chests shone with medals, their shoulders with bright epaulets. They led the way for a tall man in a shimmering white robe. Zavari's whole body tensed. Han glanced at her.
What is it?
Han asked.
I know him. It is the Procurator of Justice.
Han looked in the same direction. The other followers were entering the compound.
Then Han saw, at the back of the crowd, a human youth, or one of the smaller species of sentient beings. He held the hand of an even smaller person, a child, by the way he walked. They vanished between the two lines of guards. Han froze.
Luke.
Beside him, Zavari turned toward him, startled by the tone of his voice.
Han's heart crashed against his ribs.
Zavari!
What's wrong, Solo?
That's Anakin.
He vaulted over the rock and onto the steep slope, ignoring the path, ignoring the plants that ripped at his clothes. He stumbled and slid down the hillside.
Anakin vanished into Waru's retreat.
Leia's raiding party stood on a hill above Waru's retreat, watching the last of the youths in pale blue uniforms vanish into the building.
We have found Hethrir, Relau said softly.
All his guards are with him, Leia said, and he must be armed.
He is, with his lightsaber and mine.
Then, Lelilla, you must have noticed. It's as your boy said.
She glanced at Jason and brushed his tangled curls from his forehead.
Everything is weird here.
Leia nodded.
The Force is disturbed, disarranged. I open myself to it, and it will not touch me. I cannot heal, so Hethrir cannot destroy.
Leaving the children with Chewbacca, Leia and Rolau hurried down the hillside path. Leia heard a scattering of gravel, the scuff of boots on steep ground. She turned. Partway around the dome, Han plunged down the slope, heedless of the trail. Luke and another person followed close behind.
Han!
Leia ran to meet him. Han slid to a stop in a small avalanche of gravel and dust. Astonished, he enfolded her in his arms.
I found Jaina and Jason, she said. They're all right. But Anakin...
Anakin is here, Luke said. He's inside, Han said. We saw him.
What happened?
Leia grabbed his hand and ran toward Waru's building. The crowd swept Tigris into its excitement. Hethrir's guests gathered around the stage below the great gold altar of Waru's form. Their lord faced it, the proctors fanned out on either side of the entryway, standing along the back wall, watching and alert.
Hello, ally Hethrir. What have you brought me, my friend?
The gold being's form changed and expanded.
What you required, Lord Hethrir said. I will give you a gift, and you will keep your promise to me. You will open me to the limits of the Force.
What have you brought me?
Hethrir's guests pressed forward.
My lord, take mine!
Take mine!
The children at their sides drew back fearfully, but the guests held them tight. One of the guests struggled to keep the red gold centaur child from fleeing. The child's hooves clattered and scrabbled on the smooth stone floor. Lord Hethrir gazed over their heads. He gestured to Tigris. Tigris edged through the crowd, which parted, making a path for him and Anakin. He wished Anakin's ugly pet would lead the way instead of tagging along at his heels.
Tigris knelt on the stone floor. He was thrilled. If only Lord Hethrir would purify me, Tigris thought. I know I could serve him better. I could truly aid the cause of the Empire Reborn.
He stopped before Lord Hethrir, his vision blurry with tears of hope and desire.
Give the child Anakin to me, Hethrir said. I will present him.
Anakin clutched at Tigris's neck, hiding his face. Tigris took a moment to soothe him.
Do not hesitate when I give you an order.
Let go, Anakin.
Tigris tried to disentangle the little boy's hands from his neck, from his striped hair.
This will be wonderful, I promise you. You're such a lucky little boy.
Tigris managed to pry Anakin's hands loose.
Hethrir took Anakin's hand and led him toward Waru.
Anakin kicked and screamed as Lord Hethrir placed him on the gold scales of Waru's base.
I have brought you what you wished, the most powerful child. I have brought you the grandchild of Darth Vader.
Tigris watched, his feelings a strange mixture of jealousy, regret, dread, and horror. No wonder this gathering differed from all the others. No wonder Lord Hethrir did not make Anakin go through the training required of helpers and proctors and Empire youth. Anakin would ascend in one step to the highest level, or he would die in the purification ritual. The fanged creature pulled forward until its collar slipped from Tigris's grip. It ran after Anakin, howling piteously. Waru rippled its scales. They shimmered, liquefying. Anakin sank into the molten gold, shrieking in terror.
I would choose to give myself to Waru. I don't care about the danger. But Anakin didn't choose, Tigris thought.
He darted forward, snatched Anakin from the altar of Waru's body, and turned to run.
What are you doing?
Hethrir cried. Waru rose, its body elongating enormously, scarlet ichor flowing from its flesh. The being roared, a cry of protest and anger and desperation. The roaring shriek of the strange gold being overwhelmed Leia's cry when she saw Anakin. A youth pulled her little son away from the writhing gold creature. Leia ran through the crowd. Han was right behind her.
Mama! Papa!
Anakin cried.
It's all right now, sweetheart, Leia said. I'm here. Papa's here.
The golden being stretched itself toward them. Leia had never seen anything like it. She backed away, bumping into Han. He, too, backed away, holding Leia and Anakin.
Anakin scrambled over Leia's shoulder and flung his arms around his father's neck. Han held him gently, radiant with relief and joy. A white-robed man, Hethrir, Leia thought, grabbed Tigris by the collar and shook him.
You fool! Wretched, worthless fool! Waru!
Luke ran past them all, passing Tigris, leaping onto the altar.
Luke, no!
Han shouted. He's empty-handed, Leia thought. He's attacking, defending, without even his lightsaber.
What do you want, Skywalker? I am in pain. I have no gifts to give my followers.
Hethrir stared at Luke in confusion and anger. Then his expression changed to amazement and recognition.
Skywalker!
Hethrir said.
Waru, take him! Luke Skywalker is a trained Jedi. He is Vader's son!
The great gold being loomed. Luke faced it completely open, his arms spread wide. His boots sank into the liquefying gold. The gold being's form widened. It formed a concave surface with great rough wings curving forward to surround Leia's brother. Luke's reflection in the scales was distorted, inverted, misshapen.
Yes, take me! Luke!
Leia cried. Before she could react, the gold wings collapsed, falling onto Luke, inundating him. The gold scales liquefied, surging forward like waves, pulling back like the tide. Luke disappeared, and Leia ran after her brother. She dove beneath the surface of the golden sphere. She swam in golden light, her hair fanning all around her. At a great distance, she saw Luke straining and twisting between great rippling shields of solidified gold. Leia's breath burned in her lungs. She was afraid to breathe, afraid of drowning in the thick and honey-colored light. But she had no choice. She gasped, and the warm, thick radiance poured oxygen into her lungs. The gold shields twisted and danced between Leia and Luke. She tried to push one aside, but it turned edge onto her and slashed at her like a blade, her sleeve ripped. Leia tumbled backward, then kicked upward, outward. She could hardly perceive gravity in the strange environment, and avoided one of the shields. She slid between two other shining plates and reached Luke's side.
You can't stay here, Chewie,
Jaina cried.
Mama's down there, and Papa too, and Uncle Luke,
Jason said. Chewbacca was as anxious to go inside and help as Jaina and Jason. He had already moved halfway down the hill as the twins pulled at his hands, but there he stopped. A child screamed.
It's Lusa,
Jaina cried.
Oh, Chewie, please. They're cutting off her horns. Please, we've got to hurry.
She pulled out of his grasp and ran. Chewbacca grabbed Jaina and stopped her. He lifted her and Jason onto his shoulders, and he loped down the hill with amazing speed. He crossed beneath the arches and entered the retreat. Everyone inside was shouting and screaming and running around. All the children Hethrir had sent away were right here, crying in fear. They were all trying to run away. Except Lusa. She was running, but she was not running away. She ran right up to one of the proctors and turned her back on him and kicked him so hard with her cloven hooves that he fell down. Jaina laughed with delight.
Lusa!
Chewbacca never paused. He strode to the front of the theater where Papa stood holding Anakin. Nearby, Tigris looked confused and hurt and unhappy. Hurlau stood between him and Hethrir. She launched herself at Hethrir, grabbed him by the throat and knocked him down. Papa put Anakin into Chewbacca's arms.
Take care of the kids, he said.
Jaina had never heard Papa's voice sound like that before. He looked at Jaina and at Jason. Just a quick look that did not even last a second.
I love you, he said. I'll always love you.
He turned around and ran away and leapt up at a huge, quivering gold sphere. He disappeared beneath its surface. Tigris fell back against the dais. Waru's transformation roiled and shook above him. Shock paralyzed him. He had not ever expected to see his mother again. Hethrir had told him she was dead. She had been executed for betraying the Empire. Before him, she fought Hethrir bitterly. He should help his lord, but he could not move. Hethrir snatched his lightsaber from beneath his robe. Instead of turning itself on at his command, it reacted with an electronic screech and an assault of sparks and ozone. Hethrir cursed and dropped it.
R'lau clawed at Hethria's face. The second lightsaber fell from his belt. R'lau grabbed the fallen lightsaber. She did not engage it. She slipped it beneath her robe. In her moment of hesitation, Hethria leapt onto her back. She staggered. He choked her with his arm, and when her knees trembled, Hethria bared his sharp teeth. He would bite her spine, paralyze, or kill her.
No!
Tigris shouted. He grabbed Hethria's robe and pulled him back. R'lau fell forward, panting.
Foolish boy! She's a traitor!
Please don't kill my mother, my lord.
Hethria snorted in disgust.
She's betrayed the Empire! She betrayed you!
R'lau struggled to her feet.
You are the traitor!
Tigris glared at her, furious.
How dare you say that to Lord Hethria?
She looked at Tigris sadly, then faced Hethria again.
You could not tell him, could you?
Hethria, do not speak my name.
To Tigris she said,
he is a traitor to you.
Tigris shook his head, confused.
Hethria is your father.
Han swam toward Leia and Luke, flailing through the thick light. He swam forever until his muscles ached. Waru was far larger inside than outside. The creature's circulation whirlpooled around a central point of darkness. It looked like the black hole and its accretion disk. Han wondered, could the black hole open a portal to another universe? Is that where Waru came from? None of that mattered. All that mattered was getting to Leia, to Luke.
Han!
Leia's warm fingers wrapped around his. He melded into a circle with his love and his friend. They swam back to back, kicking, twisting, fighting. The whirlpool swept them around and pulled them inward toward the point of utter darkness.
Swim!
Han yelled. He tried to propel himself and Leia and Luke away from the center, out of the maelstrom to Waru's molten skin. Leia joined his efforts, but Luke floated between them, strangely quiescent, holding them back.
Give yourself to me, Skywalker. I'll show you. I'll open you to the greatest power you can imagine.
Luke slipped away, diving toward Waru's trap.
It's lying,
Leia cried. She felt her brother falling. He drew her with him, tempted her with him. He slipped away from her. She swam after him. The whirlpool drew them deeper.
It's the truth. I am truth.
The siren song of Waru's voice soothed Leia's fears. Her fingers slipped from Han's grip. And when she tried to find him again, the golden light blinded her. The whirlpool held her hand.
Papa! Papa, come back!
Anakin stretched out his hands, yearning toward the shining surface of the molten sphere. There was no sign of Papa or Mama or Uncle Luke.
We have to rescue them,
Jaina said. She ran toward the golden sphere. Lusa leapt in the air and followed. Tigris stared at Hethria, stunned.
My father?
You are a traitor and a liar,
Hethria said to R'lau.
What do you expect from someone who would abandon her oath to the Empire, to Lord Vader, to me?
What of your vows to me? R'lau asked sadly. Were you so disappointed in me that you couldn't acknowledge our son?
Our son, Hethria said, deserve no acknowledgement. He can never fulfill my legacy. He is ordinary.
Tigris's face burned with humiliation. Hethra turned away from R'lau, from Tigris, and leapt onto the dais.
Waru, the time has come. You have Skywalker. Keep your promise to me, Waru. Make me omnipotent.
Tigris tried to follow him, but R'lau grabbed him and held him and stopped him.
Let me go.
He isn't worth your loyalty. He isn't worth your life. Leia basked in the siren song of Waru's promises. She followed Luke toward...
Mama! Papa! Uncle Luke!
She hesitated. The whirlpool pulled her into a spiral. She slowed, trying to remember what those words meant.
Mama! Come back, Mama!
She remembered the sound of Jason's voice, her joy as he and Jaina grew and changed and learned.
Mama!
She remembered the glow of Anakin's spirit. Leia stopped, floating, spinning dizzily. The gold light opened beneath her and pressed her down from above. Below her, Luke hesitated in his headlong plunge. He was very close to the point of darkness. If he touched it, he could never escape. He would be destroyed.
Luke! Luke, we have to go back!
Han appeared beside Leia, shining in Waru's radiance. He took her hand.
Luke!
Leave him to me. Leave him, and I will free you.
The darkness opened, expanding, reaching hungrily after them, swirling at Luke's feet.
Uncle Luke!
Jaina cried. Luke shivered. He closed his eyes. He shook his head.
Come with us,
Leia said. Luke kicked fiercely. Leia and Han pulled him. They all fled, plunging away from the pursuing night, fighting their way through Waru's illumination. Leia reached toward the shimmering golden surface. Her fingertips brushed it, broke it, reached through into the air. Leia fell out onto the dais, drawing Han and Luke along with her. She lay on the stage, panting for breath. Jaina and Jason and Anakin ran to her and launched themselves at her. She knelt to hug them. Han swept Anakin into his arms, and Luke picked Jaina up. The children were safe. Waru's voice filled the theater.
You did not keep your promise, Hethir. You did not give me the child. You did not give me the Jedi. I owe you nothing. I am hungry, Hethir. I am hungry and lonely and dying. And I want to return home.
No!
Hethir cried. The golden surface expanded quick as a snake strike. It broke over Hethir, surrounded him, engulfed him. Hethir disappeared, leaving nothing behind but a scream. Something happened. All three children whimpered. Lusa jumped straight up in the air. Ralau flinched, and Luke moaned, and Leia felt as if a gong were ringing in her head. It was as if, for an instant, the Force had disappeared from the universe. The feeling vanished, leaving Leia breathless and shaken. Unaffected, unaware of the disturbances raging all around him and tearing at the fabric of space-time, Tigress broke free of Ralau and jumped up onto the stage after Hethir. Ralau lunged and grabbed his ankle. She held on to him with tenacious desperation. Zavari ran to help her. Tigress flung himself against Waru's golden shell. The gold yielded, then rebounded, flinging him away. Waru's shell rang, a great low-pitched bell. Tigress fell to the stage. The only sound was Tigress's anguished sobs. Waru's golden shell solidified. It began to contract. Ralau and Zavari drew Tigress from the stage. Tigress, Ralau said, my sweet son.
Leave me alone! Never say my name! Never!
Jaina surveyed the theater from the vantage point of Uncle Luke's shoulder.
All those proctors escaped, she said, and the other people, too.
We should go after them,
Han said. They're no threat without Hethir, Zavari said. The ones you must worry about are those Hethir placed within the Republic. She smiled wryly. But I suspect they will soon find themselves unemployed.
We'll deal with them. The guests, too, the damned slavers. They all ought to be in jail.
I will tell you where to find them, Zavari said. Soon. When I am done with them. When you complete an important task. Return these children to their homes. Her smile vanished. These children still have homes.
Zavari.
Goodbye, Solo. Zavari turned to Leia. Goodbye, Princess Leia. I'm glad to have met you. Goodbye. Thank you, Zavari.
Goodbye, Zavari.
Without another word, she strode away.
Let's go home.
Han stared at the diminishing sphere that had been Waru.
This place gives me the creeps.
Luke looked gray with fatigue and pain. His gaze kept returning to Waru's sphere. What did it want from us? Leia asked.
It was stranded, Luke said. He looked haunted. It could only gain energy by annihilating the force of our universe with the anti-force of its own.
And Waru reached the force, Leia said, horrified.
Yes, through people, by destroying people.
Lusa said it eats people, Jaina said.
Luke nodded. But Waru didn't always kill its victims. Sometimes, if it was satiated, it would feed the power back. It really could heal people, or strengthen them. That's what happened to Hethrir's proctors, if they survived, if they were reborn. And that's what Hethrir wanted for himself, to have his connection to the Force strengthened and refined. It is a very tempting offer. Luke shook his head as if flinging off a memory. Hethrir had to satiate Waru before he'd risk himself. He needed someone stronger than he was, someone Waru would prefer, yet someone Hethrir could control.
Anakin, Leia whispered.
Han smoothed Anakin's dark hair, holding him protectively. Waru needed enough power to rip a path through space-time back to its own universe, Luke said. Like an electron and a positron, bring them together and... He clapped his hands together. Annihilation. Unimaginable energy. He closed his eyes. Hethrir thought he'd be able to tap into that power. And for a moment, so did I.
Is it gone for good?
Han asked. Luke nodded. And Hethrir, too. Waru wanted to go home. Leia and Chewbacca gathered the stolen children together. Ralau put her arm around Tigris. He shrugged it off angrily.
Oh, Lelila, Ralau said. My sweet son.
Give him time, Leia said.
Yes, and peace if we can find it.
I'll help you, Leia said. I know a place where you can rest and think and talk and play. A refuge for as long as you need it. Ralau hesitated.
I accept, Lelila.
She finally said. They passed through the archway of Waru's retreat. The sky beyond the dome was amazing. The crystal star orbited the black hole closer and closer, crashing through the glowing whirlpool. Gravitational stress was ripping it apart. The werewolf flung itself at Leia's feet and gazed at her with wide eyes, panting. Free for the first time in how long? The stolen children ran and shouted and played. Han came up behind Leia, and she leaned gratefully into Han's warmth and strength.
We better get out of here, Han said. But first we have to find 3PO.
And R2, Leia said. Speaking of, Luke said. R2-D2 and C-3PO descended the trail, R2 rolling and bumping along at full speed, 3PO walking as fast as he could. 3PO's purple varnish had cracked all over like the glaze of an antique pot.
Mistress Leia! Master Luke! Master Han, they imprisoned me. R2 discovered me and resuscitated my circuits. But no time for that. R2 has made an ominous discovery.
I'm not sure we can stand another ominous discovery, Han said indulgently. Can it wait till after supper?
I fear not, sir. The white dwarf star has cooled into a perfect quantum crystal. Very rare, unique to my knowledge. As the black hole increases the amplitude of its resonance...
The crystal star is resonating? Luke asked.
Indeed it is, sir. The resonance destabilizes its orbit. The crystal star is in danger of falling into the black hole at any moment.
The stolen children set off up the hillside, shepherded by Chewbacca and 3PO and R2.
Let's go, love, Han said to Leia.
They held hands and walked toward the hillside trail. Ralau and Luke and the twins followed. Tigris stood apart with the werewolf. Ralau stopped a few paces from Tigris.
My son, she said gently, we must leave.
Tigris looked his mother in the eyes.
You didn't steal the Force from me, did you? That is what Lord Hethrir told me.
No, my sweet.
I never had any abilities at all, did I?
Sadly, she shook her head.
Wait a minute, Han said. Kid, you saved my son's life.
Maybe you can't use the Force. So what? Neither can I, and it hasn't held me back.
Who are you? Tigress said.
Han laughed, surprised. Maybe my disguise is better than I thought. I'm Han Solo.
I was taught to hate you.
Tigress added thoughtfully,
as I was taught to hate my mother.
That's too bad,
Han said with genuine regret.
I'm grateful to you. Thank you for bringing Anakin back to us.
He grinned his lopsided grin. Come on, kid, let's get out of here.
I don't have any choice, do I?
Not a whole hell of a lot,
Han said.
Luke, Leia called.
Her brother was staring at Waru's retreat. Leia had the irrational fear that he would run back inside.
Resonance, Luke said. That's it.
What? Han asked.
The resonance of the crystal star. It's disrupting the Force. That's what's been happening to me.
To me, too, Rilau said.
Luke spun toward her.
You, a Jedi?
She drew the inactive lightsaber from inside her robe. She did not try to engage it, but she fastened it to her belt in its proper place. I see that you found your small machine, Leia said. Rilau nodded solemnly, then glanced at Luke.
Perhaps when we have left this place, we might spar a bit, though I am badly out of practice.
Luke managed a smile.
I'd like that.
Han surveyed the landing field. It was a chaos of departing starships, shipowners arguing with field personnel, residents seeking passenger berths.
Looks like some people on Cressia are paying attention, Han said.
As Leia and Chewbacca divided the children into two groups, one to board Alderaan and the other to depart on the Millennium Falcon, Han hurried over to C-3PO.
Can you get in touch with Zavary? She never would tell me where she lived, how to reach her.
I have already done so, Master Han. In fact,
3PO pointed to a derelict-looking ship rising off the field with a precision and speed that belied its ugliness.
I believe that is her ship now on a course for hyperspace.
Han relaxed and grinned.
Yeah, she always did like deceptive appearances.
Papa!
Anakin, riding on top of Han's shoulders, kicked his heels against his father's chest.
Look at Mr. Chamberlain's wolf.
The great fanged werewolf lay on the field, curled up, its nose hidden by its bushy black tail, all six limbs pulled in close beneath it. Han strode over to it and sat on his heels beside it.
Hey, fella, are you all right?
The werewolf opened one eye halfway, whined, and curled up tighter. Leia hurried over.
Oh, my.
The beast was sweating heavily. Its sweat was thick and blue. It flowed out over the werewolf's fur, matting it down. She smiled.
I think that when we get back to Munto Kodru, we'll bring a little boy or a little girl to Chamberlain Ion, in place of his werewolf.
What?
Help me carry it onto the ship.
Luke joined them.
It looks like I feel, he said.
Han could not lift off without R2-D2. The radiation shields withdrew above Millennium Falcon and Alderaan. The sky was free, but Han could not leave without the droid. R2-D2 lurched from the landing field to the Falcon's entry ramp and rolled toward him.
About damn time, Han said. We were going to leave you behind.
Unperturbed, R2 rolled on by.
R2-D2 has arranged, 3PO said, for Cressia Station to follow us out of this system so it will not be vaporized. Many of Lord Hethria's guests are still on board.
And they'll be easy to round up, Han said.
The Falcon rose above the battered landing field of Cressia Station and soared into space after Alderaan. Leia headed for the hyperspace point, but her attention was behind her ship, back on Cressia Station and the Millennium Falcon and the tumult of elemental forces that would soon explode. The crystal star raced around the black hole, faster and faster, closer and closer, with more of its surface stripped away into great glowing streamers of burning plasma. Leia's head ached fiercely, as if her brain vibrated in time with the star system's resonance. Rilau, too, looked pale and ill. Leia watched intently for the Millennium Falcon.
Where are you? She cried in her mind.
Mama?
Yes, Jaina?
I think you'd better hurry. Uncle Luke!
The burning whirlpool spun furiously, ripping the glowing crystal surface to ribbons. The whirlpool blasted out X-rays, gamma rays, intense light. Leia closed her eyes, trying to force away the pain.
Han!
She cried. But no transmission could penetrate the primordial cacophony. Suddenly, against the brilliance of the dying stars, a point of darkness appeared and expanded.
It's the Falcon, Leia said.
It streaked toward Alderaan. Leia accelerated, wild joy overcoming the resonating pain. The Millennium Falcon raced Alderaan toward hyperspace. In the far distance, the crystal star reached the event horizon of the black hole. The crystal star shattered. Ripped apart by unimaginable forces, it disintegrated into atoms, into stripped nuclei and electrons, into subatomic particles. As they fell toward the black hole, energy burst from them. The radiation fueled a pressure wave of gas and stripped atoms that exploded outward to sweep away anything in its path. On Alderaan, Leia felt the disruption in the force. She knew she must escape before the light and the X-rays and the pressure wave could reach her. Hyperspace flared open before her. Her ship blasted toward safety, the Falcon at its side, Crissia Station just behind. The disruption of the crystal star lifted from Leia's shoulders. She was free. She was going home. Leia piloted Alderaan from hyperspace into the normal space of the star system of Muntokhodru. Then she waited anxiously. The Millennium Falcon appeared. Han, Leia said. The transmissions became clear once more. Han replied from Millennium Falcon.
We made it.
Are you all right? Is Anakin?
He's okay. I was worried there at the last, but he's okay now.
As Han spoke, Crissia Station dropped into existence a few light seconds away. It slipped into orbit around Muntokhodru's sun. Following R2-D2's instructions, its engines turned themselves off. The outlaw station and all its inhabitants were stranded. Hethrir's worldcraft spun serenely, surrounded by every ship in the Muntokhodru system, as Leia's advisors and the Muntokhodru officials rescued the lost children and began the work of returning them to their homes. Leia unstrapped herself from Alderaan's pilot's couch and hurried back to the twins. They were excited, exhausted, as bright-eyed as if they had a fever. She hugged them and kissed them.
You're so brave. So smart and so brave. I'm so proud of you.
She took Luke's hand. It was cold and slack.
Luke. Uncle Luke,
Jaina said.
Wake up,
said Jason.
Rilau joined them.
Let me help, she said.
She sat on her heels beside Luke. He did not stir.
Do not leave us now. You were in the influence of the crystal star, but you survived. You were in the influence of Waru, but you survived.
She stroked his forehead.
Come back to us, Jedi.
Luke's eyelids fluttered.
Are you going to let a little thing like a rip through space-time slow you down?
Luke opened his eyes. He looked at her and smiled. On the other side of the cabin, in silence, Tigris watched his mother.
Lusa clattered down the companionway and skidded around the corner.
Are we home yet?
She asked.
This is Anthony Heald. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars: The Crystal Star by Vonda N. McIntyre. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Lars Howell. Abridgment by Trevi Johnson. Star Wars: The Crystal Star is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 1994, all rights reserved. The book, The Crystal Star, is available wherever Bantam books are sold.